really wants to speak specifically to individuals. There might be more than what Errol has, but I just felt the Lord actually want love on us by just giving some personal words.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It says here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, Lumko was sharing that, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Eternity is waiting. Eternity is waiting for us who hold on to Christ. So my challenge this morning, hold on to Christ. If you are not in Him, if you're not holding on to Him, you will miss that trumpet. You will not go with Him. The warning this morning, Church of God, hold on to Him. The trumpet will sound, and if you are not holding on to Him, you know as you sit here, if you're holding on to Him. There are some of you who are not holding on to Him. I sense that so strongly. And before I share what I have for somebody, the Spirit immediately brought the scripture. As I stood up, He said, tell my church to hold on to me. Because you will not know when that trumpet sound comes. But as you sit here, you know whether you're holding on to Him or not. Hallelujah, Lord. So I just want to be obedient as Mo. I had already in my heart two people, but as Mo asked me, do you have a word for somebody? I knew I have to be obedient. So this morning, as we come to church, walk in Luzon. Where are you? Luzon, God says to me, I must tell you, it's time. It's time to dream again. You've dreamt, but you've laid some dreams down, God said. Because you're willing to sacrifice. You're willing to lay yourself down for me, God says. But God says it's time. He's awakening. He's going to awaken the dreams you've laid down. But allow yourself to dream. And when He awakens it, He is going to fulfill those dreams. But because you're willing to sacrifice, He's going to fulfill those dreams. And it's beyond, it's bigger, God says. It's bigger than what you can imagine, what He's going to do in and through you. But He says, it's time for you. See, you lay yourself down. Because you're willing to lay yourself down, He says, it's time for Luzon. Time for you. He's going to give you what you desire. Not what others desire, but because you've taken care of others, He's going to take care of you. It's Luzon's time. Be ready for it. Be ready, and it's going to be wow. I sense God say it's wow. And it looks impossible, but it's going to be wow. Just be ready for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And there's a gentleman sitting next to Martin. Die Here sê, ek moet vir jou sê vanoggend dat He has not given up on you. He will never give up on you. Hy gee nie op nie. Hy los jou nie. En ek voel die Here sê vanmôre dat soos ek met jou praat, soos ek hierdie woord bring, is dit 'n bevestiging dat hy jou nie los nie. In baie opsigte, you feel as if there's nobody that cares. Niemand wat omgee nie. Maar die Here sê vanoggend, wil hy vir jou laat weet, hy gee om oor jou. Hy sien vir jou. Hy sien jou. Hy ken jou, hy weet alles van jou. So net vir oggend, vir oomblik, wil die Here by jou stop. He wants to stop by you. He's not going to pass you by. Hy gaan nie verby jou loop nie. En hy wil hê jy moet dit weet. Vanoggend. Halleluja. Dankie Jesus. Dan nog iemand. Anelda, waar is Anelda? Anelda, waar is jy? Anelda. Sjo. Ek het agter jou, net so agter jou gesit. En volgende oomblik kniel jy in. En God says, you bring joy to my heart, Anelda. You bring joy to my heart. You are not ready for what he's called you into. You feel so, God, am I ready? Am I really ready? God says, it doesn't matter. Just bow your knee. I am doing it. I am doing it. Just be with me and walk with me. Love me as you are doing. As you bow your knee. And the glory of God will come through your life. It's the glory of God, the power of God that's going to do it in your life. So just love him. That's all. As you are, just love him. And you bring joy to his heart. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thanks, Errol. Yeah, I just felt, I almost spoke Afrikaans now. I just felt the Lord actually, just even as these words were released, I felt the Lord actually want to just touch individuals personally, and just like, hey, I'm here, and yeah, and it's special that he's here, he's with us, and you know, I've came to a realization this week, and I just like, I love church, I love my job, I love what I'm doing, I love being here, I love being with you guys, it's the most exciting thing in my life, with family and so. But it's exciting to serve Jesus together with you guys, and I don't want to like kind of sound like a prophet that's going to prophesy things like. But I just sense there's something exciting about to happen in my heart. There's this excitement in my heart that we're actually going to see something. I don't know what it is, but my heart is just so excited too, and it's going to be something of his life, breaking out, and so the topic, or we've decided to have a series running over the next while of, are you a fan or a follower of Jesus? And I think Jesus is calling us closer to actually be those radical followers, those radical disciples. And I believe as we line up with his purpose for our lives, we're going to see some amazing things happening. I was like, God, what is the next thing that you want me to speak on? And he says, like, baptism. So you realize, last week I spoke about deliverance. This week I'm speaking about baptism. So it's not really following on each other. It's God is actually, he's doing something. And so there's no kind of set program. We're going to, for the next few weeks, we're going to speak about what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to follow Jesus wholeheartedly? And as I was like, God, what do you want me to speak about? And he just says, hey, baptism. I just felt it in my heart. And I know many of us maybe are baptized. And maybe the water is very cold. I was thinking of ways of putting in a porta pool here and heating the water. And I was like, how is that practically going to work? Because we have to carry this thing out again. I was like, oh no, let's just get into that ice. Okay. So, and I didn't know if anyone is actually wanting to get baptized. I'm just going to preach about this. Because I believe the Lord actually wants to come and break. He wants to stir the waters. He wants to spin that plate in our midst. Derek showed me a video of somewhere in America, Fox News. 12,000 people got baptized in one day. It's a record amount of people getting baptized. And I'm sensing that we're going to actually see something of that in Wellington, which means that people are going to get saved. and they're going to get baptized. That's why I'm excited about that. And I'm really trusting that baptism will become as like, oh, it's Sunday, somebody's going to get baptized. It's not something that happens somewhere over time. And I believe, and this is also what, when Dan was here, he said, guys, you need to trust for baptisms. I see a lot of people are getting saved. And that's, so I want to come and stir this thing, stir the water, stir the thing in our hearts that we ready ourselves for that. Okay, so just a quick funny thing, like, just to define what does it mean to be a fan or a follower, no? So, it lets me think about Pig and Chicken that wanted to start a breakfast business. I've told this before, no? It's like, Chicken comes to Pig and says, Pig, we want to start a breakfast business. I'll give the eggs and you give the bacon. So the one is just giving something that's not costing him something. But Pig is going to give everything. He's going to give his life for this business. He's going to die in the process. Now, if Chicken wasn't just a fan, he probably would say, let's start a Nando's. Then he would have been in this fully. But somehow, Chicken is excited about breakfast, but I mean, a fan is like enthusiastic kind of admirer. It's like, Jesus is amazing. Like the whole thing, like 1 week, Hosanna, Hosanna, highest. Next week, crucify him, crucify. A fan would be somebody that is amazed by somebody, but is not really laying down their lives. And this is what baptism actually is. It's a picture of laying down your life completely. It is this something. So we'll look at some of the scriptures now. And there's two amazing resources on the 412 website. I won't have time to go into every nuance of like baby baptisms and infant. And I'm not going to go into everything of that, but hopefully will give us some handles. And I'm trusting that even if you sit here today and you've not been baptized, that today is the day or very soon after today. And so I'm trusting. I'm really excited what the Lord is doing in Dricus's life, and just there's something amazing happening, and we're going to see more of that. Okay, so in the 1500s, there was a Spanish pioneer called Hernando Cortes who sailed to South America with many ships and men to explore and conquer the New World. Some of his men, however, longed to go back and even tried to capture the ships. Cortes caught them and punished them. When he then did what he then did, will never be forgotten. He purposefully sunk his ships. He sunk his entire fleet, leaving men with no hope to return. They now had only two options: succeed with the mission or die. There was absolutely no turning back. The story is a vivid illustration of what it takes place when you become a devoted follower of Jesus. When you go into that water, it's like you are burning a ship. You are this. We succeed with this mission, and this mission is to go and make disciples and baptizing them. And this leads me to like, why is baptism so important? We see this in the Great Commission. When Jesus tells his disciples to go out, Matthew 28, if we can get the scripture up there. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. What's the first thing he says? Baptize them. So as important of going and telling people about Jesus and making disciples, the first thing he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you all. So there's something of in the very core of who we are. It's not just an added thing to our lives. It is so central of being a disciple. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a follower? We are baptized. We are people that have, and we'll speak about what baptism means now, but it's so key to who we are. It's not a sideshow. It's not an added on thing. And so I've got a few pictures there, if you can put those slides. So here's a few scriptures. And Pentecost, people got baptized. 3,000. The Samaritans that believed were baptized in Acts 8 verse 12. Paul were baptized 3 days after. Cornelius and some of the other Gentiles were baptized. Acts 10. Just the next one. Lydia and her household were baptized. Philippian jailer got baptized. Many Corinthians were baptized. The Ephesians disciples were baptized. You see this through scriptures that followers of Jesus, that they were baptized. Now, Maurice, I am baptized. What are you? I'm hoping that by speaking today that the Lord will come and remind you of that day when you went into the water. We recently watched that movie Courageous, that Christian movie with the kids. We've watched it a few times, but sometimes they dig into the DVDs and we get it. And there's one scene in this movie where the two cops, they're driving in the car and they're chasing this one guy and they look at one another and he says, "Slingshot." And it's like, yeah. And he parked the car and the guy ran out of the out of that car while the car is like, and I'm thinking, I ran out of that grave, slingshot. Now, there's something that's powerful, like you sit in, you go into this car, you're in the water, and then there's a whoosh, and this guy chased this, there's a speed and a momentum that comes, and I think something, we need to be reminded of that, because some of us are like, and we've forgotten the amazing privilege and the power that happened that day when you went into the water. I got baptized many years ago at a day like this. I wasn't baptized. I was saved for a few years. Nobody explained to me baptism. And then one evening, I sat in a church service, and a guy taught on baptism. That evening, I got baptized with 150 other people. It was like a mass baptism evening. And it wasn't very like you just like you put on this white dress and like in the water. It wasn't like praying and prophesying. It was just like going under the water. And there's something special of that moment. And may the Lord remind you today of that moment. May it fuel a fire in you that you have ran out of that grave. That something has died. And let's just look at... I'm running ahead of myself here. Hold on, Motors. Okay. All right. But just keep that thought. Let the Lord come and remind you of that today. And may He convict you if you've been putting this off for very long. Because are you a follower of Jesus? According to scriptures, who gets baptized? Believers. Believers. But notice, I was baptized when I was a baby. I was looking for my little baby boot that I got baptized in, and I couldn't find it. It's somewhere in the house. But when that boot fit onto, I mean, it's like this. It's a very small, my mom would probably, but it was like this baby boot that I got baptized in as a baby. But let me tell you, I had only memories of that day, of what my parents told me. I had no clue of being following Jesus. I had no clue of who Jesus was. I didn't believe in Him. My parents did, but I couldn't. So even if you say, "Maurice, but I was baptized," the revelation of what happened in the cross, could it enter your heart at that moment? It came for me when I was 15 years old, when I realized that I was a very good person going to hell. That I did all the right things, went to church, all those things. But I was actually very lost. And some of our stories are different. Maybe you're in sin, and like we're all in sin, but maybe drugs, all those things. And there's all these words coming out, like hold on to Jesus. There's something of that. There's maybe some of us that actually need to break of that life. And this morning is actually a moment where you can. So maybe you've been baptized, but you haven't believed that you're actually faith. You wouldn't cut to your heart. You just saw everybody doing. So maybe today is the day of salvation. Maybe today is the day where you realize, I'm cut to. Because if you read Acts 2 verse 36, 37, let's start there. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. So Peter were preaching. I mean, he's preaching this amazing sermon, and then people said, the Bible says that they were cut to the heart. Have you had that moment where you've been cut to the heart, when the gospel of Jesus been shared with you, and you believe for the first time? He says, I am lost without Jesus. I'm nothing without Jesus. And that reality, he's like, I'm a sinner. And you turn from that sin. These guys are like, what should we do? And Peter and them say, hey, repent. Turn from your old life and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, it's for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Powerful moment. We see these people in Jerusalem hearing the gospel. They believe. And what's the next thing? Repent. Be baptized. There's something of believing and being baptized. Acts 8 verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip was preaching the gospel, the good news about the kingdom of God. So it says, when they believed, when they were cut to the heart. Have you had a moment like that? Then I want to ask, were you baptized? If not, then maybe today is the day. Remember, we're not saved through baptism. We're saved by faith in Jesus. But baptism is so powerful. And we will look at what happens when we get baptized now. But it's a powerful moment in our lives. I saw testimonies in this week of people, one lady that had scars. She was a cutter, a harmer. And as she went into the water, the scars were removed from her arm. People with stage 4 cancer went into the water and got healed. Now, I'm not saying every time when you go into the water, something like that's going, but it is possible that as that old person stays in the water, there's a new one that's rising in Christ. And if you've forgotten about that, then say, Morris, I want to remind you that you are a new person. You are alive in Christ. It's not just the song that we sing on Sundays. He is risen and you are alive with Jesus. This is the power of baptism. It is we don't do it like over. You do it once, but it's a reminder of that. We'll take communion as often as possible because it's the same reminder. So who needs to get baptized? Do you believe? Were you ever cut to the heart? Do you believe? Have you repented? Maybe today. All right. I think it's getting warmer. Jesus is very kind towards it. I brought my wetsuit and then I thought, no, I'm not going to be a sissy. I'll get in there. Without I'll get there in there with shorts. Drinker said he has logs. Bad, so I don't know, but I'll get into the water with shorts this morning. All right. I hope you're getting stirred here and reminded about eternal life. How cool is that? That the Lord will remind you of eternal life. Where are you, Lumko? Huh? Where's Lumko? Huh, Lumko? You need to speak more. Huh? Yeah. The Lord wants to use you, man. Yeah. Stop hiding. Somebody had to tell me that once. It's like, Maris, you need to stop hiding. You need to come out of the shadows. God can't use you if you hide there at the back. All right. Okay, everybody's still okay. How should we get baptized? Well, through immersion. The word baptism is baptizo. And it means to go under the water. What's that word about the Lord who actually wants to come and pour water on people like this? It's like, God, what are you setting us up here for? It's like, it's amazing how the Lord is just confirming His word and like He wants to pour out and remind you of peace. Some of these words that's coming out, it's like the Lord wants to remind us of this powerful moment in our lives. So the word the Greek word used for baptism is the word that means to immerse or dip into liquid. For example, when in ancient textile industry, they used to immerse these linen into a liquid dye, and it would come out a completely different color. And that's the picture. It's like you go in maybe as a white shirt or like a black shirt or whatever. You come out completely white, a new color, and a new creation. I ran out of that slingshot. There's something that happens when you go under the water. And we look at that now. And let's read Romans 6, verse 3. Some people have used the scripture to like speak about regeneration through baptism. But it's not what the Bible teaches. Many other scriptures say we're not saved. Save is an act. We're saved by faith. But you actually will struggle as a follower of Jesus if you've not been baptized. It's going to be a tough journey. Who of you can remember your baptism? Huh? If you're not putting up your hand, you probably need to get baptized. Okay, yeah. No, it's a trick. It's not a trick. So I'm naughty. No, go away. All right. Repent to be baptized. Okay. What happens? Romans 6. Let's just read this together, verse 3 to 6. Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ? Now, it's speaking, there's four baptisms. It's speaking about being baptized into Christ, be baptized in the water, in the Holy Spirit, and baptism in fire. So there's like, if you look at the things. But do you not know all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus? We're baptized into His death. What was His death? Cross. I mean, why was there a death? It was for you. You were actually lost. You did not have a Savior. And He gave His life for you. So we were baptized into His death. We died with Him. And we were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Are you walking in that newness of life? Have you forgotten about that newness of life? May the Lord remind you. So first thing, what happens during baptism? There's a burial. You will see that there's a going under the water. Not sprinkled. It's like this biscuit. You sprinkle near biscuit. You drink over the coffee. And then there's a burial, and there's something that stays under that water. I remember when Christopher, when we baptized you, now it's like you were still struggling with smoking, and you're like, I'm trusting that I will be delivered from that. When you got out of the water, a week later he testified, said, I stopped smoking. The Lord set me free. There's a burial. There's a something of the old, and if you just do this as a symbol, you probably will just get wet and come out of the water. But if you do this by faith, it's a spiritual thing that happens in that moment. Okay, so there's something. There's a burial. Christian burial with with Christ shows that, in fact, that they died with Him to their formal sinful way of living. So there's, look, Lord, there's a putting off that formal way of living. And then we also see that baptism is very powerful. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 2, for I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And it's just, you'll see this picture of the Israelites going through the Red Sea. Do you remember Kinder Bible, outside, we had those stories. And the people were enslaved in Egypt. They were crying out to God. God sends a deliverer, a type. Moses came. And then these miracles that happen. Pharaoh can't take it anymore. He says, go. And he lets them go. And then somewhere he changes his mind and he follows them. And they get to the Red Sea. And Moses lifts up his staff and the water opens up. And they go through the water. They go through the water. And then it says that all the Egyptians, that which represent Egypt, sin, slavery, the things that they were caught up with, were drowned in the water. And I think something of what happens in baptism is that. Is there's something, it's like you go into the water and the sinful things, the things of your old life are being drowned in the water. So if you're not going to do this by faith, you probably will take some of those stuff with you. It's like when you get into the water, you take out your wallet, you take out your keys, and you get into the water, and when you get back, you just put it back into your pockets. That's not what happened. You sit with a dead phone afterwards and wet wallet. It stays under. It does not. It's like everything is yours, Lord. The things that I've been trapped, slavery things, I'm going to trust you for that to stay under the water. And I've heard testimonies even on the 412 website this week of Julie Delisle, how the Lord actually powerfully delivered her through her baptism. Powerfully delivered her. Renounced old ways. So it's not just, okay, I'm going to get baptized, going to get wet. There's something powerful. Okay, you get the point. All right, great. And then there's a resurrection. Great. There's a burial, then there's a resurrection. We acknowledge that we have been given new life in Jesus. Romans 6 verse 4. Is there scripture, Romans 6 verse 4? Yeah. We are buried therefore in baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Just something about that newness of life. It's the word kainoti or something. I don't know how to pronounce it. And it means, it speaks about a new or a fresh quality. That newness of life is a new or a fresh quality. And there's something of coming out of that water and you are new. You are new. By faith. Colossians 2, verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God. Raised with him through faith. So it's a spiritual thing. It's not just a getting wet exercise. It is really, really powerful. And there's something of that new quality, that new life that comes from, and there's a slingshot out of that old way. And I ran out of that gray. Okay. I just want to read this. Not just an action, but rather an action done in faith, an expression of our faith in the reality of Jesus' powerful work on the cross. It can bring great victory and freedom. We can trust for freedom from sin, addiction, wrong mindsets. We can trust for greater faith to be given. A new, fresh quality. Different color. And then also the third thing. So we have a burial, we have a resurrection, and then there's a public declaration that we make known. That this thing about baptism is something that's public. So we're not going to do this in secret, like you go and sign your marriage register after you've got married in some room or something. This is going to happen then. Everybody's invited to come and see, what did Jesus do in my life? I was dead in my sin, and I'm going to leave that in the water. There's a lot of dead people in that pool. If you listen to it, I'm just speaking about baptism. It's like, oh, this picture is crappy. All right. Oh, naughty again. Okay, cool. Okay. It's just shout out to friends and family. This is what it is. Even to spiritual powers, that we identify with the cross and the resurrection which has changed us. It's a declaration, a public declaration of an inward reality. You were cut to the heart. It's something that's public, and you're going to declare this to everyone so that they know. Matthew 10 verse 32. So everyone who acknowledged me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. So there's a public acknowledgement of who God is. All right, so when should baptism take place? Who knows? When should it take place? No. Okay. When you believe, when you've repented, as soon as possible, as soon as possible. Don't wait too long. Yes, you need to understand the scriptures of what's happening. You need to understand what I'm speaking about this. But don't say like, oh, wait, and I'm not ready. Or I know sometimes we delay it because we want to invite family to the special moment. Then we do that. But don't wait too long. When you were cut to the heart, when you believe, do that. I waited too long. I think about 5 years. That's too long. Don't wait so long. All right. If you're already baptized, and I'm closing here, say, ah, thank you. We can relax now. He's landing. Okay. I'm landing, guys. You can put on your seat belts. I'm going home. All right. No. Somebody's going to die now. Okay. Nog grappies. Ach, dear. Okay. All right. Okay. So, serious note here. Okay. So if you have been baptized today, be reminded today. If you've been baptized before, be reminded today that it wasn't just an event in your life. It's something powerful. And I pray that by His Spirit that He will come and make that alive to you today, even as we see Dricus get into the water. And we brought extra towels. I asked some leaders to bring towels. So even if you decide, like, I don't have a towel, we have one for you. You just have to take that wet clothes home with you. All right. But otherwise, we are ready. And this is what happened to me. I was sitting there. I had no towel. It was an evening service. I mean, you dressed like kind of evening style. It was even Wellington pluckies. And so it was, and that moment, that evening, I just felt it's something that I need to do. But if you're here today and you've not been baptized and you feel this is something you need to do, then maybe today is the day. And then one thing I also want to say is may this stir us to share the gospel. May this, if you've forgotten the power, may this fill you so that we can see not just people saying, hey, I want to receive Jesus in my life, but we're actually seeing people getting baptized and being... What does it mean to be a Christian? We are followers of Jesus and we make other followers of Jesus. We make disciples. And part of that is not just sharing the good news with them, it's also sharing with them this powerful, powerful thing that's available for them in baptism. I don't know if it's the right word if I say thing, but it's powerful. It's something really powerful. So before we go, and Rikus, are you ready? Okay. Is there anybody that wants to join Rikus? Now, like we've been like, there's somebody. Okay, cool. Great. Anyone else? Okay. No? Okay. Yay. All right. I think we have 6 towels, so there's space. we've got more. We've got faith. I've got faith that the Lord's going to, just by this today, He's going to activate something in our midst that we will trust Him for His kingdom to come even through this, through a very basic thing, but so powerful. Now, before we go out, maybe there's somebody here that does not know Jesus, and I want to give an opportunity today so that maybe you can also get baptized today. Maybe it is. You've heard. You can't say I don't understand because I've explained it today. So it's like it is. I've put it out here. So if you don't know Jesus, the next step is into the water. The eunuch, Ethiopian eunuch, he was sitting on this thing and he's reading from Isaiah. And as he was reading, and the Lord tells Philip to run up to him, and Philip asks him, what are you reading? He says, like, I don't know. Do you know what you're reading? Nobody explained it to me. And so Philip explains the good news of Jesus to him. But it says that after that, it says, the eunuch said, here is water. What hinders me for getting baptized? Now, I don't know where did he get the thing of that there's water and you need to get baptized. Probably Philip explained in the gospel message also that part of you coming to Christ is also being baptized. So the very next step for him was like, duh, I need to get into that water. This is what it's all about. So if we can just close our eyes, I just want to give one moment. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus, I was baptized as a baby, lived a very good life, and then when I was 15 years old, I realized I was lost and I did not know Jesus. I was going to hell. I gave my life. I was cut to the heart. Somebody explained the gospel to me. I was cut to my heart, and I realized that I have sinned and that my sin is killing me. The wages of our sin, Romans speaks about the wages of our sin is death. But the gift in God is eternal life. And I made the decision in that time to believe in Jesus, to repent from my sin, and to confess that He is my Lord and my Savior. And I want to extend that invitation to you today. If you're here and you do not know Jesus, today you can be with Him in eternity. Yes, maybe you live a few more years, but today you're with Him in eternity. There's something of eternal life that is, there's a gift of life, an eternal life in Jesus. So if you do not know Jesus and you want to give your life to Jesus, I want to give an opportunity before we go baptize people, just for you to raise your hand and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Just wave at me if that's you. If you sit here today and you realize, I don't know Jesus. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Even if you want to come back to Jesus, you've given your life to the Lord, you want to return. Okay, thank you, thank you. Can I maybe ask, I don't want to kind of put you on the spot, but if you've put up your hand, usually we just meeting this person, then we don't get to you. Can you come to the front and come stand with you if you've lift up your hand? I know this is maybe kind of, we don't want to kind of, but expose or kind of, but just come and stand with me in front. We would love to pray with you. Maybe just come with somebody if they like, yeah, just would you come and stand with us? Come stand with us. Don't be, we're not gonna. Okay. Can I have some people coming around that they don't feel awkward? We just want to love them. Is that okay? Okay. All right. Is this your first time? Or is this your first time giving a life? Coming back to Jesus. Okay. All of you coming back to Jesus. Allah. All right. You know, the Father really wants to, the Lord was highlighting you the whole morning to me, and He was like, there was something of like that the Lord actually wants to come and minister to you. And when you are like, oh Lord, I don't know who you are, how you came here today. It's the first time that I see you. But Father, we just pray for this special moment right now. Even for this, for everyone that's responded right now. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that as they come back to you right now, just pray with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that I can run into the arms of a loving Father. Thank you, Jesus. I ask that you would please forgive my sins. That you would wash me clean again. That you will come into my life again afresh with your Holy Spirit. I say you are my Lord. I believe you are the King of Kings. My Lord and my Savior, and I give my life to you, never to run away again. I want to hold on to you with my whole life, with everything in me. Take the steering wheel of my life and lead me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you've responded this morning, there's no pressure that you have to get baptized tonight, of today. But if you want to, why not? There's water. Nobody has to feel pressured that they have to do something that they... There's no... This is not in kind of peer pressure kind of thing. We're in Holy Spirit-led pressure. So if the Lord is... If the Holy Spirit is pressuring you, then you need to respond. But not... not Moses saying, hey, today is the day. Okay. I don't want you to one day get baptized again because I didn't understand it or I wasn't really ready. Let this be the first time and the only time. And let's be a reminder of the power of what the Lord has done in your life. Okay. All right. And then I want to speak to us. I want to say, we're going to get out there and we're going to baptize some people. But I want to speak to you. You've got a mission. If you are a follower of Jesus and you've been baptized, you have a call to go and make disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are not here just to play church, just sit in a chair and just sing a song and jump. We are here to worship Jesus and love Him and experience Him. But it's not for us. It's so that others can get to know Jesus. This is why we exist, guys. So I want to commission you. If you know of people that you need to bring to church, bring them. If you go to them, share the gospel with them. Philip was led by the Spirit. The Lord said, go up to that person, and he went. May the Lord lead us. So Father, I just pray for this army, for this, that we will burn the ships, that either we succeed in this mission or we die trying, God. But we have a mission. We have a mission. We burn all ships where we keep on going back to our old ways of life. And let the baptism of what has gone under the water be a reminder that this old way of life is gone. And I've got a new life, a new quality, a fresh quality. And that quality is about telling about Jesus, telling people about Jesus and sharing the gospel wherever I go. Trust you for that. Come, Holy Spirit. I pray right now that you will come and do this in our hearts. Holy Spirit, will you come upon each one and will you stir a faith in our hearts that we will not be ashamed of this gospel that you have saved us through, God, by faith, that we will share it from the rooftops. The introverts and the non-introverts, every one of us, that we will not be shy to speak about what you've done in our lives, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So in a few moments, we're going to gather there at the pool. Don't rush off. Just come and join in. Be part of this. We're going to be this onlookers, but there's going to be a public declaration of what happened inwardly. And it's very powerful. And let's go and witness what the Lord wants to do. And then, if you've been a visitor with us, thank you so much. Yeah, enjoy this time with us. And welcome to family.